shores El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show where we actually know what we're talking about and where truth, as we like to say, is our bitch. Welcome to the program. Tonight we will talk about, and I'm not joking, you know the name of the show. If you followed Toddlers and Tiaras, you know the spinoff is Honey Boo Boo. And we're talking about a little girl by the name of Alana Thompson and her rather, her rather rustic family. Some people say redneck. Perhaps you want to use the term rural. We're going to talk with Stephen Bozell, whose own daughter, April, was a contestant in one or two of these kinds of contests. Austin Amarca joins us from Lancaster tonight to discuss the Mars Curiosity program. A reminder, we're online at philhendryshow.com. And tons of things happening over there these days. First off, we're giving away a free year, one free year of listening in, one free year of a backstage pass where you can access the largest archive of audio and media of any radio show anywhere in the world. We have it, and we'll give you a free year of access if we draw your name. You register by going to twitter.com/PhilHendryShow and hashtag BSP, hashtag BSP. At twitter.com/PhilHendryShow, or you can like our fan page at Facebook. It is facebook.com/PhilHendry, PHANS, fans. All right. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, on the line with us this evening. And let me just get into this, Steve. Maybe it's just a little bit sideways because there's an awful lot that people need to know, but we're talking about at these beauty pageants for young people, for little girls, right?
Yes, sir. It's a beauty pageant, beauty poise pageant for young girls. They're not toddlers. They're post-toddler age, anywhere from, they can be anywhere from 3 to 7 years of age.
How old was your daughter when she was involved?
April Jr., her mother was involved in that, but she was a little bit older. She was 7, 8 years old. They also have, obviously, a pre-adolescent category. They have a adolescent category and on up the line. It's been a while since I've been involved in it, but we did have a great success, and we're very proud of Fathers in Support of Pageants, which was an organization that I started.
Now, what is that?
That was primarily men. Mothers who bring the... Mothers are generally the ones you see, especially this child, this... little girl Alana Thompson, her mother is very prevalent and present in the television shows, and we felt that there was a benefit to having the fathers there as well, because after all, it's quite an undertaking, I think.
Well, I think it's and you know that there is a great deal of criticism about these kinds of things.
I think it's unwarranted. I think it's unfair. I think that there are some parents, there's no question about it. There are parents that take it to the extreme.
You know, some of the costumes.
I don't think that is the norm. We've seen there's a tendency for a lot of parents to want to give a more mature look to a little girl, and I agree with you, Mr. Henry. I don't want to see that. I would much rather see her in her own natural. I guess you could say at the stage of her life that a child would be at, what kind of presence and what kind of poise and presentation does she have? So it's more in context.
All right. So let's get back to this show. For those of you listening in, we're talking about what's been the talk of the really the talk of the Twitterverse, and it's also an extension of something much larger, or perhaps. Something that is better known by people, which is the Toddlers and Tiaras TV show, as well as the entire beauty pageant discussion for little girls. Now, I've got the article here. The show debuted last night on TLC. It's called Honey Boo Boo, something like that. And the show is basically about this one little girl who is a sort of breakout star on the program, and let me just find it. Here comes Honey Boo Boo. That's the name of the show. Steve, I got this this article in front of me. Did you see this?
I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
This is an ABC report. It says Honey Boo Boo is back and beckoning all viewers to redneckignize her in her new reality TV show, Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. The first two episodes of the show premiered on TLC Wednesday, debuting Toddlers and Tiaras breakout star Alana Thompson.
I didn't see that, no, sir.
Okay, better known as Honey Boo Boo and her Georgia family. You know that's just us, says the mother, Alana's mom, June. For the most part, that is us every day. She's talking to ABC News.
I recognize, I know who she is, and I recognize what the basic dynamic of what you're talking about.
So there's nothing here that I'm reading that surprises you.
No, it's all the same kind of self-promotion and in many ways self-aggrandizement, if you want to put a big word on it. And I think that's the biggest problem, I think, is these women who have these little girls, and the criticism and that
it's almost like a chip off the old block, like they want their daughters to be something that they weren't.
Yeah, I think so, and that's why when we started Fathers for Pageants, we wanted this to be the fathers were going to guide the children, and the fathers would be involved in organizing and taking the kids to the pageants and supervising them during the pageants and then taking them home, because the mothers were, we felt after we had the initial meeting I had with most of the fathers that were involved in these pageants that we were involved in, agreed that the mothers were not able really to shepherd and guide these children, since a lot of them want to be, they want to be, they want to be the kid, and they want to be on stage and think everybody loves them. I mean, that
sounds like a pretty pathetic psychology right there. Is it, you see a lot of that?
Well, you don't know. I mean, I've seen it. If you ask me, I see a lot of it. I've seen enough of it to say that we as fathers want to take over and not take over, but push out some of these mothers that tend to embarrass the kids. And also, I think a lot of these mothers tend to foster or further the impression of these toddler pageants as being, these very freaky, kind of a freak show thing.
All right, Steve Bozell is with us talking about the little girl beauty pageants that has gained more exposure and I suppose more popularity or currency with the debut of a TV show last night called Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. This is the name of a little girl named Alana Thompson, who was a, quote, breakout star, or one of the more interesting little girls on this show, Toddlers and Tiaras. Her mother, June, I think, told ABC News that we're just regular folks.
Notice also that the first name of the little girl is different from her mother's last name.
And the first name's different?
I'm sorry, Phil. I meant to say the last name is different from the mother's last name. So there's, if you are looking for your, if you're looking for kind of I guess if you want to call it your hillbilly connection there, or you're looking for evidence of a not a very upstanding representation for the beauty pageants, I think that's there.
Do you resent, and do other fathers that you've talked to resent, other parents, do you resent the fact that the exposure, the notoriety, the fame is being garnered by a family, a little girl from a family that is, kind of just regular old Southern, folks?
I mean, you're being polite. You want to say redneck.
Well, I don't know that I want to say redneck. I don't know what I would say. Redneck to me is always always conjured a connotation of something a little negative. I know that it's not, and I probably need a better definition. But I'm saying these are just kind of real lower middle class Southern people, kind of salt of the earth.
Well, I think you're being kind. I'm not criticizing them, but I think that when you put a face on the teeny toddler pageants, and it comes out looking like this little girl's mom, and I think it's bad, and I think really the fathers need to take a hand in, because you have these mothers that want to be on the beauty pageant, And the other thing, Phil, that needs to be recognized is the fathers are going to be far more adept or far more qualified at judging what kind of clothes the little girl should wear in terms of impressing the judges. Now, that's a very, very dicey situation because, you know, the mother is not going to want to put the little girl into anything that she feels perhaps looks too extreme, although some of them do. A father is going to be a little bit more, you know, conscious of what's going to work, you know. And it's you know, I don't want to say, you know, because I don't want to get in trouble, you know.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, you know, I'm talking about, you know, if they need to do a little, if the little girls, if to win the pageant, if they need to do a little hip shake or put on a little, you know, a bathing suit or something like that, a father is, and the Fathers for Pageants, the organization that I head up, we're more likely to say, okay, go ahead and let's do it. Let's get this done and get it over with because you know that that's going to wear out.
And you're saying the mothers would not?
I think the mothers are more likely to push back against it again.
Well, that's probably where you're going to run into some opposition, huh?
Well, no, because after all, we are the fathers too, so we have some say, and you know, if that's what we say needs to happen, then they're going to have to at some point listen.
All right, Stephen Bozell with us here as we talk about these beauty pageants for little girls, you know, the Toddlers and Tiaras thing, and now this Here Comes Honey Boo Boo show on TLC. His organization, Fathers for Parents, they're advocating moving the mothers out of the support role and moving the fathers in because the mothers are up against a couple of handicaps. One, some of them may actually see themselves in the pageant, meaning they're funneling a lot of themselves through the little girl. And number two, they may not be very likely to make the hard decisions on what the little girl should wear that will appeal to the judges. And that's the part that I don't particularly like, the whole, you know, making these little girls into some kind of adult pageant contestants. 877-876-7445 is the number here at the world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with more, talking a little bit more here with Stephen Bozell, and take some of your phone calls later on. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
877-876. Whoops.
Whoop.
877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show here. Stephen Bozell is with us on the line. We're talking about Toddlers and Tiaras. We're talking about these little girl beauty pageants. And we're talking about the breakout hit Toddlers and Tiaras and what they hope will be another breakout hit. It's called Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. And this is a little girl that was on this show. Are you familiar with this family, Steve?
You know, I've seen them around at some of the events that we had taken our niece to. April, she stopped competing a couple of years ago. I had hoped that April would continue on into the Teen Miss pageants and so on, but unfortunately she, you know, stopped, and so my niece has been involved. And what we've done with Jessica is we've taken her to some of these pageants, and I have told my wife, and I told Erica, who's my wife's sister, that if you really are serious about this and serious about winning in a toddler pageant, then you have to, at some point, take a, you know, and the old saying goes, my father used to say to me, you know, take a wise man's advice. So,
well, you're talking about the wise man would be you, huh?
I think so, sir.
All right. You know, I don't know that I'm all that interested in finding out what wins in these things. I think more I'm interested in what is the propriety of these events. I know they've been going on for a long time, and I know that there was probably a lot of negative coverage of these kinds of things after the death of JonBenet Ramsey.
Well, you know, and I understand that. And I said at the time that one of the problems we're having here, you saw what happened to that little girl, JonBenet Ramsey. We've got to get the fathers way more involved and get a lot of these mothers back them off, because here's what happens. I think the psychology of a lot of these mothers and the pathology, and I'm not a doctor, but I've studied up on it, because I was seeing my daughter, April, and now I'm seeing my own niece, Jessica. I'm seeing them losing these pageants and losing a pageant and losing and losing and losing. You can practice a girl. You can run her through the steps. You can run her through the things, the poise. You can practice the song she's going to sing, and you can do it over and over and over and over again. But I'll tell you right now, unless you've got someone who is really going to get that kid committed, she's going to lose and lose and lose. And that happened to my daughter, and that happened to my niece. And
who was that your wife?
Well, that was my wife and my sister-in-law. But when I got involved, and Jessica's father, Erica's husband, Dave, got involved, and we said, you know, basically we said the party's over, and we've got to work these kids and work them and work them and work them and work them and get them to a point where they are proficient, and they're going to go out there and they're going to get it, you know, and get it done.
And I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
They're going to get it done.
And, all right. Well, what are the changes that you made? You know, because already we have.
Well, I mean, we just said the party's over, and we took these little girls, Jessica, and we said, now, if you want this little girl to win a pageant, look at this redneck. You don't want to call him, but look at these redneck here, these trailer people. They got this little girl, Alana, and she's got a personality, and she's got poise and beauty, and she comes from a bunch of rednecks. Now, if these people can do it, why can't we? So I told my wife that she needs to back up and let the men take over.
Well, all right, so it sounds to me like what you guys have brought to, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to...
that's okay.
All right, it sounds to me like what you and Dave, your brother-in-law, have brought to this beauty pageant thing.
Well, it's not a beauty pageant thing, Mr. Henry. It's a competition.
All right, well, but it sounds like what you guys have brought to it is a lot of training. And
well, not only training, but you know, you gotta drill it. You gotta over and over the song that she sang. And I want to ask my wife, do you remember the song that Jessica sang? The sun comes out tomorrow. That's that one from Annie. You know that song?
Yeah.
We trained her, and my wife and Erica did not really do the job. They had the little girl practice it a couple times. They brought in some piano player that they knew. But what Dave and I did is we took this kid and we said, now you're going to sing this, and we went over and over and over and over. And when we thought we had it, we went over and over again. And you have to, you know, kids are a lot tougher than you think they are.
So you're taking, how old is the little girl?
She's six, but let me just say something before you know. 6 years of age, of course she's getting her food and she's getting her sleep. We're not, you know, but when it's time for her to practice for the beauty pageant, and to go down to the beauty pageant that they have, when it's time for her to practice up so she's going to be ready for the beauty pageant that they're going to enter her in, I'll tell you right now, we're going to run her and run her and run her until she gets that song right, because she had done it and she did it bad and she did it bad again.
Are you talking about the little girl? She didn't get the song right.
No, she did not.
And the mothers do not push these kids, is what you're telling me. I mean, that's what you're saying. The mothers don't push them.
Mothers don't push them because the mothers are imagining themselves being the kid. I think they more want to be in a beauty pageant, in a pageant like that. And also, as I said, we know what the judges look for. The mother's not going to want to have a little girl in a unitard or... A unitard.
A unitard is that's you know what you're talking about with the unitard.
No, just one strap on the shoulder.
Right, I know, but I mean, some of them they're only meant to be seen from the waist up.
No, not that kind. Although that kind of thong, if you augment it with something like if you have a skirt that comes down, see, I can't really talk about this because you're going to think that. This is all about being a pervert, and no, it's not. It's about winning, knowing what the judges are looking for.
All right, but I mean, this is the problem that I've got, Steve. If you got a little girl, she's a 8 or 9 year old little girl. I don't know what the hell. Do you want to take a phone call?
Yeah, get a couple calls.
I just want. I mean, I've got a problem with the whole notion of little girls wearing any hint of a little girl. being an adult. All right, tell you what, we have to take a break. We'll be right back with Stephen Bozell here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, I'm not saying, you know...
Now, hold on, Steve. 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with more on this topic of the little girl beauty pageants and, you know, the fathers taking them over and pushing the kids a lot harder than the mothers have.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876 Phil, world famous Phil Henry Show, here with Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell is a father from Corona, California, and has been involved over the years in these beauty pageants for little girls, basically because you moved your wife or you insisted that you have some more of a say in it, right?
Well, it came about, Mr. Henry, because of the fact that my daughter was not winning anything. My daughter was not involved in... she was not winning any pageants. And
all right, so you're talking about your daughter. You took over from your wife in the beauty pageant business.
What? Not the business, but my daughter was not winning. And my wife and the other women, I think they imagine themselves as being beauty pageant. I think if you look at this Honey Boo Boo and all, and that woman is, she's more about how, you know, is she going to be a star? And
So now you took over this thing, and your daughter, and now you have your niece. Are they doing any better?
Well, I didn't take over my daughter. Me and Dave, my niece Jessica, we've just now taken over management of her, and it's a whole other regime. You know, we want to win. There's two pageants coming up, which is an Inland Empire Miss pageant. There's another one for the Salsa Festival. There's a number of them, and we're not going to give up until we win. And if that means, you know, you've got to get the kid, drill the kid, and just, you know, over, you know.
All right, 877-876-7445. I'm going to go over to Bobby Dooley, who has talked about these kinds of things with us before on our show. And, Bobby, I know that you have at the Western Estates Homeowners Association, don't you have like a Little Miss pageant or something?
We don't have a Little Miss. What we have, and good evening, Steve.
Yes, ma'am.
We don't have a Little Miss. We have a pageant that is what we call our Junior Miss.
Is it for little girls?
Yes, it is. I think that Steve makes a very good point. One of the things that we've tried to emphasize with our mothers and with our parents is that when you do have a little girl, of course she's a little girl, but you've got to give the judges something to anchor in. You have to give the judges some kind of a lifeline, if you want to call it that, or an anchor, or a tether to what. Why should they care about this child? Why should they care, Steve? And for instance, in your case,
I don't know that I need a lot of advice, ma'am.
I know, but you said you're not winning.
Well, I think it's just a matter of we need to just get in there and,
I think this is interesting. So, Bobby, you're saying to Steve that they need to anchor the judge's attention.
Oh, if I could just say,
go ahead.
I think we just took over Jessica's pageants from her mother and from her mother and from my wife, and so we got to size it up and see just exactly where we stand. You know, we just got to take a look at, you know, if you will, you know, what's left after they sort of dropped the ball with this. And what we do have is a very attractive little girl, but I think we've got to go one step further. I think we need to get her into some kind of clothing that is not going to exploit her sexually. No way would I ever allow that. And her father would not allow that. So we've got to get her into some kind of clothing that is not going to exploit her sexually, but is going to give the judges a reason to be there. you know.
Well, what does that mean when you're talking about a little girl?
No, sir, it doesn't have to be anything.
It doesn't have to be anything all that relationship or anything like that.
Yeah. It can be something that is simply just cute. And I think Steve mentioned you give her a little this kind of a unitard you're talking about, Steve, that's sort of a thong.
Yeah.
But you cover it up with a sort of a sheer little skirt.
Well, you got a little girl walking around up on the stage then with her body exposed.
No, you do not. And you have to, you know, Mr. Henry, you really need to be careful. I was listening to you talking to Steve. You need to be careful because there are a lot of people who want to shut these pageants down, and they're looking for an excuse. And if you misstate what we're about, then you give them the excuse they're looking for. They'll say, oh, look, you're allowing nudity. And
all right, if I got something wrong.
Yeah, Mr. Intercut.
Go ahead. If I got something wrong, tell me.
Yeah, well, here's what you got wrong. Yeah, yes, she's wearing a unitard, and you're seeing, she's going to see. I'm not going to see. It is kind of a thong, but you got on a sheer dress. And
yeah, the sheer dress is the reason they call it sheer.
Phil, hold on for a minute.
Well, but the reason they call it sheer, you can see through it.
Yeah, but hold on. Go ahead, Steve.
You're looking, but then the lighting comes in. So you got a three-pronged attack here on, and the lighting is, it's not backlit, it's frontlit, so you don't see anything. And the reason...
Then why dress her that way?
Because from the audience, you can't see. From the judge's table, you can see probably just the legs. You can't really see anything else.
No, and again, it anchors the judge's attention. It gives the judge... what we call in the beauty pageant business, it gives them a reason for getting out of bed that morning because...
Not to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
You get a lot of these beauty pageant judges are going to come out and they're going to say, what are you wasting my time for? And, you know, let's get it going. And
well, what does that mean?
That does sound offensive.
What I'm saying is...
What does that mean when a judge says, what are you wasting my time for? It sounds to me like he wants to see some sex show.
No, sir, not at all.
No, that's not true, Phil, but that was a bad way of putting it. The judge, I've had judges say to me, and I've judged a lot of these, and I've said to a lot of the mothers, I said, look, I know you mean well, but your daughter is out here, and I know she's only 6, 7, or 8 years old. I understand that. But you've got to come with some, you know...
Something better than her just standing there in a clown outfit or something.
Exactly. So, in one of the pageants, I had the mothers practice the girls doing a little, you know, a pole dance.
See, I don't approve of that at all, you know.
Well, you don't understand it.
You're not actually having them doing any... a pole dance, Mr. Henry, does not... it doesn't mean what you think it means.
I just... To me, it intimates something, and I would not be in favor of a pole dance, you know?
No, I understand that a pole dance represents sex, but it... is something that many women are doing now. A lot of women are doing it. And a lot of women are getting involved in it for exercise, and a lot of women are getting involved in it for any number of reasons having nothing more to do with sex than the fact that at one time you might have seen it in a, you know, in some sort of a strip joint.
All right, 877-876-7445. Bobby, will you stay on the line with us?
Yes, of course.
All right. Let's go to another phone call here. We got Ray on the line. Ray is calling us from out of state, I guess. Ray, how you doing?
Hi, Phil.
Hi. Where are you calling from, sir?
Phil, I'm in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Oh, yes, sir. Go ahead.
To the lady, Ms. Dooley, right?
Yes.
All right. When you advise these mothers that they should have their daughters do something to keep the attention of the judge, did you say specifically for them? And if I sound emotional, I am, because I'm very outraged at what something Mr. Bozell said, and I'm trying to keep my cool.
What did I say, sir? I'd be happy to deal with it.
I'll talk to you in a minute. Did you say to these mothers to get your daughters out there and to do something to keep their interest?
Yes, I did, and I'm not backing off of that. I didn't say sex.
Did you say, though, to get a pole dance going?
I didn't say a pole dance. I think one of the mothers said that.
All right. Mr. Bozell, have you had your daughter, and I'll tell you why I'm emotional, Mr. Henry, and it may come as a surprise to you, that I am emotional because my daughter, Jennifer, who had competed in a similar pageant, it might have been the one in San Bernardino that you're talking about, Mr. Bozell.
Yeah, with the Inland Empire, yeah.
Okay. My daughter had shown up with a pole that she had gotten at the exercise store and wanted to do a pole dance, and someone said to her, no, you don't, you can't, etc., etc., only to find out that Mr. Bozell and this woman, you have counseled that.
I can't speak for the organizers.
Well, you can't speak for the organizers when my daughter showed up with a pole to do a pole dance.
Wait a second. Hold on for a minute.
No, hear me out.
Hold on for a minute. You guys are arguing about whether or not your daughter get to do a pole dance.
Your grammar, Miss, you said your daughter get to do. So.
I don't mean to make a big thing, Mr. Henry, but that sounds like that girl's fan. That Honey Boo Boo. Yeah.
Well, but can we stay on the point here? My daughter showed up with a pole, and they told her no. Now you tell me your daughter can.
Are you people actually seriously talking about 7-, 8-, and 9-year-old girls doing pole dances?
Well, it is not sexual. I wish you'd really...
Hold on, Mr. Henry. Whether or not it's sexual at this particular point in the conversation, I'm not interested in. I want to know why it was my daughter was told no. When this man Bozell and this woman Dooley are now counseling, that is perfectly fine.
I didn't tell your daughter she couldn't do a pole dance.
But you said you were at the very same pageant that you took over for. And this is why I'm very emotional about this.
So you're not upset that little girls are doing pole dances. You wish that your daughter did one.
I want my daughter to have the same opportunities that these two people, daughters, get. On the day of, you remember the man in the movie Godfather who said on the day of your daughter's wedding, that's the kind of nervous energy that I've got right now listening to these two people.
And, all right, hold on, sir. I want to take a break, okay?
And to say that...
Hold on, put him on hold. 877-876-7445. Beauty pageants among the very small. This is a guy on the line... I don't know the world of toddler beauty pageants, but they're very competitive, obviously, and the three of them are now talking about, they're talking about stuff I'd never have a kid of mine do. Ever. 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 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I pulled the pole out of my car.
Yeah, I thought you pulled the pole out.
Phil, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Bobby Dooley. We also have Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell is a father and a member of an organization called Fathers for Pageants. You're a guy that is, Mr. Bozell, you are actively supporting your daughter, not your daughter, your niece, correct?
Yes, sir. It is my niece, Erica, or Jessica. Her mother is Erica. Erica and Dave are my wife's, they're our in-laws, and my wife's sister is Erica. And
we have Bobby Dooley on the line, Ms. Dooley from the Western States Parent Teacher Organization. Bobby?
Yes, Phil. Can I make a comment about the last caller?
Go ahead.
The gentleman was upset that his daughter was not given the opportunity to do a pole dance. I don't think this is the time or the place to talk about whether his daughter got a chance to do it. I think we need to discuss the propriety of that. It is not sexual, and I want to emphasize that. It is simply a display of skill and a display of physical strength. And Steve, I know you can speak to that.
Yeah, that's why I took over the training. We took over the training of my niece and Dave's daughter because the women were not adept at the physical training of that. If you want to have a girl do a pole, a little 9-year-old girl, she's not going to do no sex. But you want her to be physical, and you got to. Trainer and trainer and trainer, and a lot of times these kids will cry, and a lot of times they want their mommy, or they want to, you know, you say to this kid, you know, and it's tough for me to say this, but say to this kid, you know, you're going to get this, or by God, I don't know what.
Well, look, you're not talking about Marines here, you know.
No, that's absolutely right, Phil.
Not training her like a Marine.
All right, but just saying drill it over and over and over and over again. I don't know. You're not talking about young men in boot camp. You're talking about a little girl in a beauty pageant. 877-876-7445. Let me go to Ray. Ray, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell and Bobby Dooley. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I'm coming in on the tail end of this conversation, but I just honestly think that there's a form of sickness to being able to watch, you know, a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, or 9-year-old dance on a pole. I mean, to me, you know, what's next? You know, is it a striptease? And just because you could do a striptease artistically, you should be able to put that in the beauty pageant? No. To me, it's sick. And it's uncalled for. There's other things that you can do to show your child's talent other than having mm-hmm. them do splits and sliding down poles. That's for adults.
I agree. Bobby?
Well, I heard you say you agree. And, Steve's here. He's a father. And I know you would never want your niece or your daughter to do anything.
And I agree with the gentleman. When I say that you got to do something to get to wake the judges up, I'm not talking about a full sex dance, you know. I mean, you guys are taking this way far out. I'm talking about a little something.
What does a little something mean, you know?
Well, that's why I think you do need the mothers, because we're not going to demand as much.
I know, but I've got a niece that has lost consecutive beauty pageants, and she's getting... Can I just be honest, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
My niece has gotten her ass kicked in every beauty pageant she's been in over the last 2 years. She just gets her ass kicked. And we've got to do something. I don't know what it is.
And I understand. You're going to want to bring the pole dance out. You want to do the sheer, the unitard. And you want to give it a little bit of... what's the old term they used to
say? You call the hoochie coo, you know what I'm...
The hoochie coo is not a word to use applying to little girls.
No, and that's why I don't want to call it that. But I'm just saying something to wake these judges up and get them out of the coma that they're in when my niece goes out there.
All right, 877-876-7445. Again, this is a world that I don't know anything about. Here is Vanessa on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Hi. I was hoping that I could hear more about... I'm sorry, uh-huh. I forgot their names, the gentleman uh-huh. and the lady who are in defense uh-huh. of these beauty pageants. They're
My
doing
Bobby.
A terrible job of defending them,
uh-huh.
and
uh-huh.
I would love for them to uh-huh. Tell us more about how stripping is okay for little girls.
No.
How being partially nude wakes up the judges, and that's an okay thing. And
I beg your pardon.
The more they say, uh-huh. the worse it sounds.
Uh-huh.
And anybody needs to call in telling them how awful it is if they just keep talking.
Can I say something? First of all,
I have
sponsored our junior miss and our preteen beauty pageants and our summer tacklers and our four festivals throughout the year. Number two, what Steve was saying when he said the unitard. The lighting is everything. If you get a girl who goes out onto the stage wearing a pair of... She's in her underwear.
Wait.
May I finish, Mr. Henry?
Do you see what I'm saying?
Do you... I just want to...
We're talking about lighting. No. We are talking about lighting.
Yeah,
I'm very aware about stage lighting. I am not a stranger to stage lighting or anything of that nature.
Are you familiar with beauty pageants for... this age group?
I am. Was very little, when I could
uh-huh.
toddle, I was in pageants.
All right, ma'am. Did you win, if I may ask that question? Because I've got a niece.
I got second and third place medals.
Well, my niece has gotten that. I mean, that's not going to pay the bills, you know.
Look, you know what I'm seeing here?
You don't strike your children out. So
here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing what I call the little league syndrome here, where you've got a dad who wants to be a major league baseball player, and he's sort of living his life through his son.
Well, that is ridiculous, Phil.
No. I see a lot of these mothers doing the same thing. They're,
uh-huh.
But then you ask of the children, these adults, you push them and push them.
Look, Mr. Andy, do I look like I want to be a girl in a beauty? You know, you may not like me, but I can assure you, I don't want to be a girl. I don't want to be a lady in a beauty pageant. Okay.
No, but you know what you're doing? I'll tell you what you are doing, is that that competitive thing's coming out.
All I said was I don't want my niece getting her ass handed to her every time she steps out on a runway.
Maybe there's a reason she loses. Not everybody is made to be beautiful in the way beauty pageants want them to be.
Okay,
people are beautiful
right
in different ways.
See how you stepped into it? You didn't think you were going to step into it, but you did, ma'am. And I say that with all respect. You just stepped into it.
What did she step into?
She's saying that my niece, she's emphasizing you've got to be beautiful, and you do.
In a beauty pageant, you have to look a certain way. You got to wear
the
certain makeup.
And I got to get her out there, and if that means she goes out in her underwear, she goes out in her underwear. I'm not asking her to do a sex act.
Do you see, and there he buried himself in that argument.
Why do you?
You got to strut out in your underwear to pay the bill.
No, ma'am.
Come on, 9-year-old.
No, ma'am. No.
All right, we're going to continue this. We'll continue the conversation. Hang on the line here, Mr. Bozell and Ms. Dooley, and it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk about Honey Boo Boo and the toddlers and tiaras and these little beauty pageants for little girls. We'll continue. 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
877-876-7445. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Another hour here, and we have held over Bobby Dooley and Steve Bozell from last hour as we've been talking about the beauty pageants for little kids, this toddlers and tiaras slash honey boo boo. And Bobby is the president of the Western States Homeowners Association and a parent-teacher organization. Mr. Bozell is a parent with a daughter who had been in these pageants and now has a niece. And the management of this niece, the training of this young girl for these pageants, has been taken over by yourself, Mr. Bozell, and your brother-in-law, correct?
Yes, sir.
How has your sister-in-law, who's the mother of this child, and your wife reacted to that?
I think, you come to a point where you say to them, I've seen my niece go out here, and she goes out to these beauty pageants. She was out, as I mentioned to you, she'd been at the Inland Empire pageant. It was one of the Carnation festivals they had. They have a beauty pageant for the young misses for the Salsa Festival in Ventura County and so forth. And my niece, for 2 years, has never, ever, she had won anything. If I had Dave here, if I had her father here, he'd probably be a lot more, explicit about it and say, she ain't won you-know-what, S-S-H, you know.
Okay, all right.
And I said to her mother, I said, you're doing a lousy job. Now, you kick it into second gear, kick it into high gear and get it together and get this kid bringing home some ribbons or step out of the way and let us take over and you're going to see something. Now, it is true that
I don't think drilling this child is still said that she's not a Marine.
I know she's not a Marine, but she's going to sing that song, The World Come Out, or The Sun Comes Out Tomorrow, from Annie. And I said, this kid's going to sing it, and she's going to sing it good, and not sing it like some girl singing at a talent show in the middle of Nebraska. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, you want these kids to be professionals? I mean, is that what you're going for? A professional sound from a little?
I want my niece to get up there and show that she's got, and not sound like some fat. I don't mean any defense by this, but some fat little girl, some fat little girl in the middle of Texas or something at some beauty pageant, no one will ever hear about, no one ever give a damn about.
That is a good point. I mean, you want them to be remembered.
All right. 877-876-7445. I cut off Vanessa. Let me go back to her, and we'll take some more phone calls. We're on the line here with Stephen Bozell and Bobby Dooley, and essentially you guys are defending these beauty pageants for these little girls.
I don't want to be cast in the role of someone who is trafficking in sex.
And that's an absolute insult.
No, I don't hear anybody saying that. I think what we're talking about is a propriety issue. What do you want these children to be wearing? What should they be singing, et cetera? How should they be presented? Vanessa, go ahead.
Well, there's nothing inappropriate about what I do.
Okay, is Vanessa there?
I suppose that would be a matter of opinion, seeing that our teens are becoming sexualized through the media. Right there with it. Let's put on more makeup than your mom has ever worn in her life. Smear it all over. So you look right in the bright lights that just have to be on you. Let's put you in your underwear because nobody can really see it because you've got to pay the bills like Mr. Bozell was saying.
Well, no, ma'am. I was saying, ma'am, you said you were in beauty pageants yourself.
With
and now I would ask you, and I don't want to be offensive, ma'am, but did you strip down?
I'm sorry?
What kind of a question is that?
I'm asking the lady. She said she was in beauty pageants as a little girl. And did you get it down to your underwear? Or?
No.
Why would you ask? What? You know, I've got to tell you something.
Put me in my underwear. That is something that one of you said. Where if they have to be in their underwear in a sheer dress to get the attention of the judges, somebody's got to pay the bills and this and that and the other.
May I say something?
Go ahead.
I think you're overstating that a little bit. Let's not be overwrought. I mean, I think what he was saying was, if it was the difference between a niece, and I think Mr. Bozell indicated that his niece has been, she has not performed well. And you've got to push them through and get that blue ribbon. You've got to get them a win. Now, if it means it's underwear or no.
What do you mean if it means it's underwear or no? What does that mean? Because I'll tell both of you something right now. If I knew of any beauty pageant involving children where they were in their underwear, I would get the police.
Absolutely.
You know what? No, Mr. Henry, you're saying that so you can get the applause of your audience.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that as if it was a child of mine. That's what I'm saying. And they told her to strip down and walk around in her underwear, I'd call the cops.
So you wouldn't take it up with the pageant organizers?
No, I wouldn't take it up. All right, Vanessa, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. No, I wouldn't take it up with the pageant organizers. Let's go to, I believe this is Jesse on the Phil Henry Show. Jesse, go ahead.
Hey, I'm calling up. I'm just for background. I'm 22 years old, and I was pretty shooken up when I heard the first guy call up, and he was all outraged, and I realized that he was outraged that his daughter didn't get a pole dance. And then I asked what Vanessa had to say. No, hold on. I didn't interrupt you. I've been waiting on the phone for however long. So
I'm acknowledging you. I'm acknowledging you.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just saying that there's... Vanessa called up and she said... She was getting onto a good point but then missed it. She was going to say, well, you know, you're the guy who was talking about how his niece or whatever has been getting her ass kicked. Why not get her piano lessons or something? Like, I mean, does it have to be a beauty pageant? Obviously, she doesn't want it. What's going on here? Where's the responsibility? And how come... The 22-year-old here is the one talking like this. What is going on here?
Well, I can answer your question, sir. This is Mr. Bozell. And first of all, you know, we started by talking about this television program. If you had seen Honey Boo Boo I came out of that Toddlers and Tiaras. Now, that's the kind of stakes you're talking about. You're talking about a kid that got spun off into her own TV show. Obviously, the stakes are very high. And I know what you're saying, give her a piano lesson, this and that, and I would love to do that, but this is what she wants to do.
You sure?
Is it really, really, really what she wants to do? That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know what you mean by really, really, really. I mean, I asked her, do you want to do this, Jessica? Yeah,
and
I want
like
to.
Like an absolutely 100% enthusiastic yes, I've always wanted to do this. This is what I want to do until I'm dead, is be beautiful. Is that what American society is? Is that that's what we're striving
well, I don't
for?
Think
is that
that,
we have...
No, that's not how... That's not what she said. When I asked her, "Do you want to do this?" She said, "I want to do it with that Honey Boo Boo. I want to get like Honey Boo Boo."
She wants her own TV show.
Yeah, is that supposed to be bad?
No, I mean, get her some acting lessons. Take her to a union. Get her in background picture acting. Like, I mean,
she's going to be in her underwear?
Really? Like, I mean, come on.
For her, no, sir, but that's not fast enough for her. She wants it now. You know how these kids are.
And she's 8 years old.
You've got to be a parent, then. You've got to be a parent. Your kids don't get it. You know, you have to draw the line somewhere. Kids don't get everything that they want. And to say that she really wants to be in her underwear.
Oh, you're right.
I totally agree.
I totally agree with you.
Sure, I've raised parents, but not you.
I've raised two children of my own. I understand what you're saying, but this is a beauty pageant that where the payoff, it could be, you know, it could be Oscar time. You know, it could be. That's what I'm saying.
But it's
so,
always Oscar time, though. I mean, you could just win the lottery tomorrow, but the odds are you're going to get struck by lightning first.
Exactly. You know, what exactly do you want to put this child through?
Well, I don't think we're putting it through anything.
No, I hear Mr. Bozo saying. Mm-hmm. Well, he's teaching her how to sing. I've heard his niece. She's wretched. She really is wretched singing. She's got a cute little walk.
Well, what does that mean, a cute little walk? It's an 8-year-old child. And when you say she's got a cute little walk...
It's something that the judges can anchor into.
Right, but the whole point is why should they be in a competition like that? If they're not a good singer, well, then get them some singing lessons. Like, if they're not... You know, I'm just saying, why does it have to be a beauty pageant when you're 3 years old, 4 years old? But what is the point of that, other than you getting the glory out of it? Because they're not getting any glory out of it.
Well, yes, they are. I asked my niece, I said, you want to be, honey? She goes, yeah. I said, that's a TV show? She goes, yes. I said, well, that takes time. She goes, and she looks at me, because she's 8 years old, and she looks at me and says, well, then you better make it happen faster, as if this is something that has to do with me.
Yeah, but what this man's saying is...
That sounds like just a real lack of parenting to me, and I'm only 22. I'm not a parent, and I'm a young guy. But, I mean, why the hell? A little girl... It's ridiculous.
I'm just saying that's an 8-year-old girl nowadays in the year 2012 looks at her father or at her uncle and says, you better get on a stick and get going, because...
Well, then where's the parenting? What did your parents do to you when you asked them that? They probably smacked you.
Yes, that's true. My father took the buckle of a belt and would beat me over the head with it till there was blood. So I don't want to do that.
Right. No, you don't want to do that, but you don't want to have your daughter dancing in underwear either.
No, sir. But if my daughter looks at me and says, you know, I want that Honey Boo Boo TV deal, and you better get it, you better make it happen, I mean, there's a real threat there.
What threat is an 8-year-old kid going to issue? That's what I can't figure out here. And I want to thank you very much, sir, for your call. All right, sir. Thank you very much. 877-876. Phil, we're going to take a break.
I don't understand what you mean. Mr. Bozell is simply saying that his niece and his daughter said, I want what Honey Boo Boo got, you know?
Exactly.
And either you make it happen or, you know, you're not happening. And nobody wants to hear their own child dismiss them that way.
All right, we may be speaking a different language here. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch.
I want what Honey Boo Boo got.
The Phil Henry Show.
Back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley, Steve Bozell, and your phone calls as we talk here about, as we continue talking here about the toddlers and tiaras beauty pageant, this phenomenon of beauty pageants for little kids. And Mr. Bozell, talking with you earlier, you said that the men have to take this thing over. That your wife and your sister-in-law were not doing the job, that your niece was not winning. Now you have her in her underwear.
Oh, no, I never said that, Mr. Henry. It was Ms. Dooley.
To be fair, Phil, I brought up the underwear. I said, you gotta, if you are trying to win, it's very competitive. It's very competitive. And I have judged, I've been a judge of these. And you see these girls come out. Cute is one thing, but you know what? Every little girl is cute. Every little girl is cute.
That's right.
So you've got to come up with something else. You've got to have something that sets you apart? Are you, you know, it can be something as fun as, and now here's our little Miss. We had a little Miss Moffat, or little Miss Moffat, I forget it. The little girl in the fairy tale, you know.
In the nursery rhyme.
Well, I thought it's a fairy tale, right?
It's a Mother Goose nursery rhyme. Little Miss Moffat sat on a, whatever it is.
Sat on the what? I don't.
No, you're talking about the nursery rhyme.
In any event, I said, oh, here comes little Miss Moffat or Moffat, I forget the name. And she's got her curds and whey, and she has her, I guess she was sitting on a mushroom or something.
Mm-hmm. Or sat on a something like that, yeah.
And she's in underwear. She's wearing cowboy boots. And
she's in underwear. So we're talking about almost like a striptease.
No, we are not, and I really resent that. I attached my name to this pageant.
That was your junior missile that you got.
Yes, it was. And Steve, you were there. And Steve and his wife were there. It was about a nursery rhyme, Mr. Henry, a nursery rhyme.
And the girl comes out in her underwear. That's all I'm trying to say. 877-876-7445. Teoma, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Yeah, greetings. I was driving home from work. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
I was driving home from work. I'm a midwife, you know, so I deliver deliver babies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you stop saying uh-huh? It really is distracting to me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're saying it in the middle of what I'm saying. So, you know, it's not really an opportunity. It's an interruption.
It's a habit that I have. I'm simply trying to acknowledge that I'm hearing you.
Yeah, but it's distracting.
Yeah, thank you.
Fine.
So, so I would say, you know, I birth babies for a living, and I've never seen a baby that's not beautiful. You know, all of them are beautiful in a way that's more powerful and more important than the superficial, than their face and singing a pretty song. I just want to, you know, put that out there. And it's really, really important in this world, which is such a challenge to all of us, even as adults, and a challenge to children, too. It's very important, I think, to affirm that they are beautiful, that their souls are beautiful, that no matter what they do, what they win, we love them and we see them as sacred, and that we cherish them and that we love them. And what I'm seeing here is that maybe, I mean, well, honestly, when I started listening, I thought...
You can't really do a beauty pageant like that. You know, you can't run a beauty pageant like that, can you?
Well, I want to hear Teoma, what else she has to say.
It felt like satire. It felt like, is this Saturday night?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, especially you, Mr. Bozell, you're telling me that you move the women out of that.
Let me ask you a question, if you think this is a satire. There's an article here, 15 celebrities who are aging badly. Michelle Williams, Lindsay Lohan, the Jenner sisters. Women are aging badly. Women are looking worse and worse.
Right.
Why can't we, very early in life, get our children to begin to value their beauty and not look like a dime store hag by the time they're 10.
Hold on. But the,
wow.
You know, the part of the reason that they're aging so badly is that they're doing all this plastic surgery, is that really, you know, like working their face and body is so hard in order to squeeze the last drop of youth, quote unquote.
Yeah.
This culture overvalues youth and physical beauty, you know, and I think that to train these young girls, these little girls from this age, to that is what we are looking for in them, is very dangerous. And I think that these kids are going to have problems. And I think that your child, your niece, when she says, yeah, I want to win this thing, is reflecting your values. This kid only knows what she's learned from you, so she's reflecting your values, and you're telling her.
Yeah, but she went even further, Teoma. She said to me, my niece, said to me, you know, I'm counting on winning this. You better make it happen. And there's like almost, you know, she's almost like, you know, challenging me. Mm-hmm. And
well, so what? She's a little girl. She's not giving you directions.
When a kid looks at you who's 8 years of age and you expect her to be 8 years old and she looks at you and says, I want this more than life itself. And if you can't make it happen, I'm going to find somebody that can. She's talking like she's an adult. She's talking like an adult, and that's...
You're pushing your her into an adult world, really, at this point, when she's a little kid. She's a little kid.
Yeah,
she should be able to run around in her, you know, in all kind of raggedy clothes and get muddy and, you know, just not be thinking about the fact that, you know, her hair looks and swinging around a pool. I'm sorry, a pole.
I heard a girl at one of these pageants.
Symbol. A pole is a phallic symbol, and a pole with a female's legs wrapped around it gives a message, and it sends a sexual message.
No, it's an exercise. A lot of women are doing it for exercise, though. But I heard a girl say to her mother,
a woman's legs wrapped around a pole sends a message. I'm sorry.
Well, at least they're not wrapped around some guy, you know.
Oh, come on. They're little girls.
I heard a little girl at one of our pageants yell to her mother this very phrase, get your ass in here. I would have smacked her.
That tells you.
Yeah, I would have.
You know,
all right.
Where their heads are at, really.
All right, Tioma, thank you very much for your call, and very good stuff. Good stuff to think about it.
You don't care about her call.
Yes, I do care about her call. I wanted to hear what she had to say. First of all, she's talking about...
Well, it sounded to me like, yeah, sure. And I know, Steve, did that...
Yeah, that's exactly how it sounded to me. And
I'm not blowing off anybody. One of the things the lady said that I thought had great value was when she talked about that kids are beautiful. And
children are beautiful, Phil, but if it was really true that all children are beautiful, then every child would be in, you know what I'm saying? You'd have nothing but kids in beauty pageants. You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't. No, I don't see what you're saying. You guys are the ones that have these beauty pageants.
Wait, what do we mean, you guys? What is that? It's almost as if you're being, it's racial.
It's not very racial.
It's not. You're the ones that are having beauty pageants, right?
The beauty pageants that we're having...
And you qualify kids for these beauty pageants, so you're the ones who are already setting the standard. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more from Bobby and Steve Dooley about the Toddlers and Tiaras beauty pageants. Are they good for kids? And this Honey Boo Boo and all that. We'll be right back.
Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking here about this beauty pageant thing. Stephen Bozell and Bobby Dooley are News and Information Hour coming up next hour as well. And a reminder that we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you can get a backstage pass and watch live streaming video of our show. We have a video cast each and every night on our website. We had a new podcast drop today. That's episode 28 of the Free Phil Hendry Podcast, and we've got another one, episode 29, dropping tomorrow, as they say. Bobby Dooley and Stephen Bozell with us, and we'll go to another phone call here. We have Anthony on the line. Again, we're talking about the propriety of having these beauty pageants for little girls. Some of the things that you've talked about, Mr. Bozell, and you, Ms. Dooley, scare a lot of parents, including this whole getting into underwear stuff.
No, I didn't say get into underwear. I said... If it's a choice between that and your daughter constantly losing.
Anyway, go ahead, Anthony. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm a father of two. One is a boy, and another one's a girl. She's my daughter's 2.5. And to be honest with you two, my 1.5-year-old daughter will look you two in the face and slap you for the stupidity that you're uttering out of your mouth. I'm sorry.
Well,
That
doesn't sound like very good parenting on your part, sir, to have a kid.
Well, Steve, now that's where you're wrong. It takes pride from a parent to teach their children right from wrong. And if you really listen to exactly what you guys are saying, it would not make a lack of sense at all. And especially letting children later on in underwear, that's not only just wrong, but it's morally ridiculous. Just morally irresponsible. But also the parents. Now, I grew up in an old-fashioned home. Now, if I were to even talk to my mother especially after how you guys say that these kids disrespect their parents and talk bad to them. If I even looked at my wrong, she would back it so hard my eyes would pop out of my head. Now,
well, let
me speak here, all right? Because I get offended.
Yeah, go ahead.
I get offended by people who ask Mark like that. And you know what? And I get the OBGYN, nurse, I'll tell you one thing, she's correct. That that's good. That even aggravates me. I wanted to reach through that radio and just grab you.
What OBG? What is she talking about?
One of the other callers didn't like you going uh-huh.
Oh my God! It's like we're in communist Russia.
Good, listen, all right? It's disrespectful. It doesn't matter if it's a habit or not. I got habits, but you know what? I control it because it's called disrespect. All right. Now I'm going to speak on the other gentleman there.
Well, I mean, you're not going to hold in. You're not going to hold in like a belch.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You'll hold it. Anyway, go ahead. Go ahead, Anthony.
As far as there's a gentleman there. As far as how you were describing how you had to take over for your niece because your wife or your sister-in-law.
My wife and my sister-in-law were blowing it. My niece hadn't won a pageant and have never even had one. And she sang like, it was horrible.
Now, I have a question. Did you ever stop and actually ask that girl, your niece, is the reason why she was losing because she doesn't actually want to do that? Now, coming from myself, when I was 8 years old, if my parents asked me, hey, you want to jump off a bridge with me? I say, yeah. You know what? Any child, no matter how old they are, they're going to do what the parent says. All right? The reason
why I don't say that to her. I didn't tell her she's got to be in a pageant. I said to her, now look, if you're going to be in a pageant, you know, this is a whole new ball game. I said, you got Uncle Steve now. And I said, I know you never heard of Vince Lombardi, but I'm the next thing. I said, all I want you to do is follow my direction like you would the word of God. And
you're talking to an 8-year-old girl?
Yeah.
Now you're talking of the word of God. Now you're talking to an actual fellow Christian here, sir. Now the way you speak and the way you talk, if you look into the actual words, you are breaking every sin. At least.
I'm not. I don't believe I'm God. I don't believe I'm God. I'm just saying, follow my word as you would the word of Jesus Christ Himself.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Out of the 10 world's deadliest sin, what is one? Lust. What are you doing right now to little girls when I'm running around in underwear? That's considered lust in God's eyes.
Are you kidding me? That's a little girl, man.
There's weirdos out there, man. There's weirdos out there, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. Play around in underwear. You don't know who's there.
I'm trying to give her every advantage to finally win a pageant for once and do something right in her life. This kid couldn't win.
You just said it yourself. There's a lot of
I've seen this little girl. She couldn't win. She can't win a ticket at the carnival.
So what?
You know what? You know what? I want to slap you to myself because you know what? That's so disrespectful to the child. You're putting that
slapping. I would love to say to this kid, get in there and win something, or I'm going to slap you. You know? And
I heard the girl sing. She sang "The Sun Comes Out Tomorrow." And it was horrible.
A little kid? No. What you want to do is you want to prepare as a child. And
I sing "The Sun Comes Out Tomorrow" better.
Okay, I got to go. Anthony, your phone is gradually deteriorating there for me. I appreciate your call very much, though, sir. Good points that the gentleman's phone just seemed to be a little...
I had to... You know, I really resent that, Mr. Henry.
What about what the man was saying?
Oh, hold on for a minute. I had to sit there and listen to that man's god-awful phone while you kept telling me to shut up, whore.
I never said anything like that.
No, but I mean, Mr. Henry, that was, you know, this is Mr. Bozell, Mr. Henry. It's not Mr. Dooley, it's Mr. Bozell.
Yeah.
It sounded all, you didn't say that, but you might as well have said.
Exactly.
I mean, you were, you know, every time that guy said something, everybody got it. And
I never said to Ms. Dooley, shut up, whore.
But you might as well have said shut up, whore.
You people, just like that man said, you don't...
There you go again with you people. Don't you know that that is racism? You don't know that, do you?
No, you guys are not only...
Now, you guys I can handle.
That's fine, but you are so stupid, you know...
Enough so that I don't have to sit and listen to this. I don't need this, okay? I heard when, what's-her-face, Arianna Huffington hung up on you, and the last thing she said to you was, I don't need this, okay? And neither do I, Mr. Hendry. I'm the president of the Homeowners Association. Goodbye.
Can I say something, Mr. Hendry?
Go ahead.
I'm still here.
I thought you hung up.
I have, but I'm listening to what you're saying.
Can I say something, Mr. Hendry?
Yeah. Ms. Dooley. Ms. Dooley.
Yes?
I thought you hung up.
I did hang up, but I'm listening because I don't want to be talked about behind my back, like I'm a streetwalker, or someone, or a drink whore, someone catching drinks at some flea bag.
Good God, you really, you know, you,
I really what? I'm not going to be talked about that way.
We're talking about little kids. I don't personally care how you are talked about. I don't care what you think I said about you. I don't care what you think I think about you. We're talking about little kids and how they've been treated.
Can I just say something?
Yes, you can.
I'm letting you know I'm here.
You're there, but you did not hang up.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, will you?
Yeah, go ahead, will you, Steve? I can tell you something, Phil. I'm not going to put up with this.
Well, fine. You don't have to put up with it.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, say something.
And another thing. And
Would you shut your sewer?
I thought I heard something. You know what? There must be something wrong with my ears. I actually thought I heard Bozell say, shut your sewer.
He did.
I did, ma'am, because you wouldn't shut your filthy sewer.
Okay, now I'm back on the air. There's no way that...
Oh, let's get real here.
No, there's no way. You know, I only wish I was standing in the same room as you, Mr. Bozell.
Ma'am, you know, you didn't shut your sewer, and...
What do you mean, shut my sewer?
You kept on talking when Mr. Hendry told me that I could go ahead and say something.
Are you going to cry? Hey, Steve, boys.
Yeah, Mom?
Steve.
Yeah?
This guy that I'm talking to on the Phil Hendry Show is going to bawl like a bitch.
Why don't you just shut up?
Okay, I'm not going to have anybody talked about that way, and you can just get the family...
No, hold on for a minute. Steve, get the boy. This is great. Turn the radio on.
Oh, now you're going to make a spectacle out of me?
I'm sorry?
I said, now are you going to make a spectacle out of me?
That's pretty funny, Mom. My family's enjoying you.
Okay, Ms. Dooley, this is Phil Hendry.
What?
I'm going to hang up on you.
You wouldn't dare.
All right, Steve, go ahead.
You hang up on her?
Yes, I did hang up on her. Go ahead.
Hold on. She called back.
I don't give a damn if she called back. You leave her on hold. You understand?
All right.
In fact, tell her I'm not going to take her phone call. Hang up on her.
She won't have any of it. She'll have none of it.
She'll have none of it. How do you like that?
Where'd you learn how to talk like that? Well, that's what she said. She said, I said, Mr. Henry don't want to have you. And
Can I say something, Mr. Henry?
You hold on for a minute, Steve. What did she say?
She said, Mr. Henry, you don't want... And she goes, I'll have none of that. And then, you know...
So you just quoting what she's saying.
Can I say something, please?
Hold on, Steve. Go ahead.
So then she said that, that she wasn't going to wait on hold... She wasn't going to be sitting waiting online like some waiter or some, you know, douchebag or something like that. And I said, well, in a lot of ways, the way you've been talking about Mr. Hendry, you know, you have sort of, in a lot of ways, behaved like a douche, you know. And then that's when she said that, she just felt that I was being unfair.
The hell was that? Steve.
I'm only kidding.
Real funny, man.
Well, I mean, you guys wouldn't...
That guy tried to shoot himself?
No, he said he's kidding.
It was something that...
You all right, man?
No, man, I was all right. Now I ain't all right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, I've heard more people tonight say, other than me, that if I was in the same room, I'd slap you. If I was in the same room with Steve, I'd slap him. I'd slap Bobby. I'd slap all those little kids, only because the whole conversation bothers me. I'd slap that little kid's mom, that honey boo-boo, whatever the hell she is.
Would you slap her?
No, I'm not going to slap honey boo-boo. But I'd slap her mom.
What about Sugar Bear?
Who is Sugar Bear?
That's the dad.
That's the dad. Yeah, I'd belt Sugar Bear, too. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
He's going to be back. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
We're back here on the air, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Steve, you were talking off-air about something that your wife is going to be involved in. Are you talking about the Baja 1000?
Yeah, the Baja 1000 is an off-road race, and April has talked about entering that, and she wants to have as her co-pilot my daughter, April Jr., and... Well, I tell you I've got to get my niece to win a beauty pageant, because what's happening now is my wife is going to leapfrog over me with my daughter on stuff what she done, you know. And
what do you mean stuff what she done?
I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
Well, let's not knock his grammar.
No, but I don't know what he means.
Hold on. So, Steve, your wife and your daughter are going to be in the Baja 1000.
Well, that's what they're talking about. I've got an old Volkswagen. I got an old VW, and they wanted to get her brother and make the frame dirt ready, you know, off-road ready, and put some springs on it and work on the engine.
But this is going to be your wife, and how old is April Jr.?
She's 14.
I can't believe April Jr., you know.
That's my daughter's name.
All right. So what about that is bad?
I mean, think about it. If they go down there and they compete, my daughter, at the age of 14, goes to Baja, Mexico, and competes in the...
Is she going to drive?
No, she's just going to be a co-pilot. And
you know, that I'm a little bit familiar with that race. It takes a couple of drivers. Are you saying that your wife is going to drive the whole way?
Yeah, that's what she claims. But I don't even know they'll finish it so much as they just want the experience going down there as mother and daughter, you know.
All right, it sounds very interesting.
That sounds fascinating. So what is the problem?
I mean, think about it. I'm trying to get, I want to get a feather in my cap. Because if I can't even get my niece to win a lousy beauty pageant out here, they're going to have they're having the talk of, it's the one, Honey Boo Boo. In fact, I think I've seen the Boo Boo, which is what they call her, and it sounds ridiculous, but they
do what?
That's what we call her on the pageant circuit. Say, here comes the Boo Boo. And it sounds, you know, and what we want it to be is, here, she's a big, just a walking mistake, you know, but no, it didn't catch. Everybody thinks it's cute.
And you call her the boo-boo because you want her to be a big walking mistake.
Yeah, that was my thinking. I said, why don't we call her the boo-boo? And for a while, we'd say, here comes the boo-boo, and we'd see these rednecks pouring in. We'd see them pulling up. They'd come up in two, you know, took two vehicles for them to pull up, and you'd see these rednecks, you'd see the boo-boo. We call the boo-boo train pulling in.
I don't know what you're talking about. You sound almost, it's almost as if I'm in some kind of a special ed class.
Well, ma'am.
Yeah, Steve, cut to the point.
The point is that if I don't get my niece to win a beauty pageant and my wife's down there at the Baja 1000 with my daughter, you know, now my self-esteem and my manhood has taken a steel-toed boot to the testicles of my manhood.
What are you talking?
I know what he's talking about.
You've got to make sense. Yeah.
I know what he's talking about. You're saying your wife and daughter running in the Baja race makes you look like a wimp.
Unless I can get my niece to win this the taco festival. It's not the taco festival. It's where they have in the Inland Empire in the summertime. They have the taco competition, and it's Taco 2012, I think is what.
I know that. It's Taco 2012, the Young Miss Division.
Right. And
Taco 2012, the Young Miss Division.
Yeah. If I can get my niece to win that, then that's I can stave off, or at least one day my wife walking around the house like her, you know what, doesn't smell, because she and my daughter competed in the bar 1,000.
Well, I want to say this. I think that competing in the Baja 1000 is a pretty, pretty prestigious thing for a woman and a little 14-year-old girl to do. Your wife is going to have to drive the whole way. Your daughter is navigating. If they finish the race, it's going to be so far and above what you're able to accomplish in this, in the Taco 2012. That, what's the point?
Okay, so in other words, what you're saying is I'm SOL. I'm crap out of luck.
To me, it seems that way, yeah, because... Yeah.
Well, look, why put the guy down?
Oh, Mr. Henry, please don't be disingenuous that way. You know full well that...
Well, okay, I'm going to say this, Steve. Your wife and your daughter are going to do their thing. Why can't you do your thing?
Because my thing isn't beauty pageants for little tiny kids. I did it so we'd have a feather in our cap, me and Dave. But now that my wife and my daughter are going to go out and compete in the Baja 1000, meanwhile, there I am trying to get a little girl to sing the song from Daddy Warbucks so she can win Taco 2012. I mean, that's almost fully retarded.
It is. I think it is.
I don't want to hear that word used. Do you understand?
I'm sorry, but it does sound disabled.
Okay, all right. And
Steve, my point is this. My point is this.
I mean, I'm walking around, I look disabled to this level.
Hold on for a minute. My point is, if your wife and your daughter have decided to go do that, that's great for them. You have something that you're going to follow through on. You're going to help your niece win this pageant. If she doesn't, okay. And you know what, man? Be proud of yourself that you helped. Don't put the kid through the ringer. Don't put her through a boot camp. Don't make this into some competition for you and Dave.
Well, yeah, but what are we going to do? What's Dave going to say to me when it's my wife that makes him and me look like we ought to just get into our high heels? What's he going to say to me when it's my wife that makes him and me look like we left our skirts at home? You know, and I know that I'm being...
You're being asinine.
I know that, but I'm trying to make a point here that my wife and my daughter are going to run over the rough terrain off-road in the Baja 1000 in a dune buggy that they're going to have a hand in building, because my wife... was talking to Jim Festine, who's a friend of mine. She said, look, I'll handle a blowtorch, too, and my daughter said that, too.
What do you mean a blowtorch?
They're going to put a new frame. They're going to build a frame.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, see, that shut him up.
Well, it didn't shut me up.
Well, I agree. I think that pretty much makes you look pretty stupid.
You think that way too, Mr. Henry?
I don't think it makes you look stupid, no, but I will say that your wife and daughter manning blowtorches and building the frame for an off-road dune buggy while you're teaching a little girl how to sing The Sun Comes Out Tomorrow for the Taco 2012.
All right, so in other words, I look like an ass. Okay, that's all I want to know. Thank you very
much. It doesn't sound like he hung up.
Miss Bozell, you gotta hang the phone up.
I don't feel like it.
Well, you have to hang it up.
I don't want to hang it up.
If you don't hang it up, I gotta hang you up.
You're gonna hang me?
No, I get...
All right, take care of it off the air. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back. Our news and information hour coming up next.
Phil Henry.
Oh, what a hurt.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it am talking about. And we're here every night, Monday through Friday. We're also online with live streaming video of our show at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, watch our video cast, listen to our thousands of hours of archive material, listen to our Milwaukee Lion podcast, watch our other special event videos and special event interviews, and so on and so forth. We also have our rants now. We are posting our rants on demand for our backstage pass viewers. These are our pre-show rants. So these are things that you don't hear on the radio show. And why is that, Bud, Robert?
Yeah, I'm kind of, you said F and everything.
Yeah, you used the dirty word.
Yeah, okay. So in any event...
Well, you do.
Yeah, I know that. No, you're right. It's, you know, it sounded a little...
You use dirty words.
Anyway,
Well, you do.
All right. So, that's what we do. And we're also going to be posting video versions for free, a couple of them on YouTube. Not a lot, but a few on YouTube, as well as, of course, we have our podcasts, which are available to you 3 days a week. We drop a podcast on you, and we just had episode 28 on Thursday. Coming up here is Friday, and episode 29 right around the corner. All right. Welcome back to the show. Pick a year, Bud or Robert. Pick a year between from 1945 to 2008.
Why?
Because I want to pick a year for the front page of the New York Times.
You do it.
All right. 1931.
Pick a year.
No, man. It's a 1945.
Oh.
Pick a year between 1945 and 2008.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. So, you know, just it's like a number between 1945 and 2008.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not really a number. It's 1945.
It was a number. It'd be 1,945.
Yeah, why don't they call it that?
I don't know, guys. Just pick a number between 1945 and 2008. Or, if you will, 1,945 and 2008.
Okay, so are those years?
Yes, they're years. I want to pick a year for the New York Times.
What flag is that?
What? That's Japan.
Yeah?
Yeah, they got the...
Are you guys listening to me, or are you watching the... Oh, look at that. That's Abbey Road. That's Abbey Road. And there's a guy doing a... look at that. London NBC 4 News. That's the guy for Channel... Did you see where that guy's standing there?
What?
That's Abbey Road. You see that walkway? He's pointing to the Abbey Road walkway that the Beatles walked across for their album cover. Now, you see how it curves there? And it goes into kind of almost like a blind curve there?
Yeah.
People coming up around that curve, like those buses... could not see, and still can't really see, the people walking on that crosswalk. And so, over the years, people have been killed on that crosswalk, reenacting, or I should say, recreating the cover of the Beatles album.
Yeah, you told that story already.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling it again. How about that, okay? Don't tell me whether I told it again. Wow, Phil, that's great.
Well, but I mean...
You know what I'm saying? A little showmanship here? There may be people out there that haven't heard the story before.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not sitting here doing my show for you guys. I'm doing my show for people out there, understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, guys, that people walk across that crosswalk, and they get killed. They get run over by trucks and by buses.
Hey, that's great.
What are you applauding for, you idiot?
Oh, I'm sorry.
They get run over by trucks and buses.
Yeah, I didn't know that, Phil, That's very interesting what you said.
Yeah, I want to learn more about it. Can I look it up on Dinktopedia or whatever?
Wikipedia, bud? You mean Wikipedia?
Oh, yeah, I mean Wikipedia.
No, or maybe, I don't know.
But what kind of answer is that?
Don't worry about it.
I mean, I'm sorry.
People have been run over by buses. Hey!
I didn't know what kind of reaction you wanted.
Well, I think it's pretty safe to say that when someone gets hit and run over by a bus, you don't applaud. Okay? All right, folks. Anyway, welcome to our news and information hour here. I just took all kinds of stuff and scrumpled it up here. And didn't mean to do that. All right, the Milwaukee Bucks. Oh, this is not the Milwaukee Bucks. This is a trade, and it was a pretty big trade. A trade that was affected for... Dwight Howard, the Los Angeles Lakers, if you will, have concluded this trade, citing people with direct knowledge of the trade talks. ESPN and other news organizations reported Thursday night that a four-team blockbuster trade will send Dwight Howard to the Los Angeles Lakers, and they are saying it is complete pending NBA approval.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we find that gets screwed over by the last time.
Right. Well, that whole whatever that deal was, that we were supposed to get that one guy and we didn't get that one guy. What the hell was that anyway, man? It was, was LeBron? It had something to do with LeBron James, or maybe it was somebody else, but...
All I know, man, is that we finally got a break.
I was with the Hornets. I know that. It was with the New Orleans Hornets and the league. And folks, I'm just giving you this. We're not going to belabor the L.A. Lakers stuff because it's very local. But according to ESPN's Stephen A. Smith... He was talking with Dwight Howard. He said, quote, he's ecstatic, just incredibly happy to be moving on to the Lakers and moving out of Orlando. Gee, I wonder if that's a slam on the Orlando Magic.
Sounds like it to me.
He's anxious to put the events of the past behind him. His attitude is this is second home to him already because Howard has spent time in Los Angeles rehabilitating his back. One of the things he told me, I can assure you, I'm happy to be here. The trade is set to go down like this. ESPN reports the Lakers will receive Howard from the Orlando Magic. Now, this is a four-team trade.
Yeah, let me write this down.
You don't have to write it down, bud.
Well, I want to get it right.
All right. The Lakers will receive Howard from the Orlando Magic. The Philadelphia 76ers will receive Laker center Andrew Bynum and Magic guard Jason Richardson. The Denver Nuggets will receive 76er guard Andre Iguodala, and the Magic will get Nuggets guard Afron Aflilo. I'm sorry, I don't know the name. And forward Al Harrington.
Who the fuck's the name? Aaron
Aflalo. I don't know. And forward Al Harrington, 76er center Nikola Vucevic, and forward Maurice Harkless, and one protected future first round pick from each of the other three teams. I have no idea what I just said.
Me neither.
And I don't think anybody listening understands it, but it is a complicated four-team trade. The Lakers have a long history of acquiring elite centers, and this is fascinating to me only because of my, you know, following the team for years. But to give an example here, the Lakers got Wilt Chamberlain in 1976 from the Sixers for three players. This is who were not better than Wilt Chamberlain. I don't know, I recognize that there were three players that weren't better than Wilt Chamberlain, but what is that supposed to mean anyway?
Well, they weren't better than Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, what kind of players were they, man? What even better than Wilt Chamberlain? Were they guards? They probably were guards or forwards. And who the hell was better than Wilt Chamberlain those days? It depended on the position.
Jerry West.
Jerry West was a guard. In any event, then in 1975, they got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from the Bucks for four players. They signed Shaquille O'Neal away from the Magic in 1996. O'Neal was a free agent that was following the Magic going to the finals against the Houston Rockets. They traded for Paul Gasol in 2008, sending the Memphis Grizzlies three players. And finally, now they get Dwight Howard. Now, there's a difference between this trade and maybe Gasol and the other ones that we're talking about. Jerry West pulled the trigger on those, and now we have Mitch Kupchak, but way to do it, Mitch. All right, that's enough about the Lakers.
Why don't we talk more about them?
I don't want to talk about the Lakers because it sounds like we're doing a local sports show. Oh, let's see what else here. The Modern Fallacy. We got a couple of things here. Darlene Cates, who starred opposite Johnny Depp and Leonardo DiCaprio in What's Eating Gilbert Grape, sheds a major weight. Take a look at her now. The Modern Family star oozes sex appeal in a steamy photo shoot for Allure. Like it or not, Honey Boo Boo and her family are here to stay as the premiere of their show attracted 2.2 million viewers last night and was number one in all ad-supported cable in its time period among women, 25-52. Women 18 to 39 years of age, and women 18 to 34 years of age. Now, when they say ad-supported cable, what that means is essentially all those channels that are not channels 2 through 13. Channels 2 through 13 are the traditional over-the-air, or what we used to call VHF, or technically non-cable channels, because maybe they're all considered cable now because you do have to have a converter box to get any kind of signal. There's no such thing as just getting an analog signal anymore.
Yeah, everything is digital now.
All right, so, but in any event, over the ad-supported cable would be any cable that has commercials.
Is that HBO?
No, does HBO have commercials?
Yeah.
What commercials does HBO have?
They had a commercial for Robert De Niro and his movie.
What movie?
But they have like a commercial for Robert De Niro on Tribeca Festival.
That's not a commercial. That's a promo, man. It's a promotion. You know the difference? You guys have worked in radio long enough. You know the difference between a commercial?
What? No.
A commercial is something you pay for. A promo is something the network throws in there as a promotional announcement. Not the same thing. All right. Anyway, Honey Boo Boo, she ain't no boo-boo, man. Now, here's the thing. 2.2 million viewers was a very healthy debut, according to the story here, because it went up against the Olympics, and then it went up against Matthew Perry. And Matthew Perry and the Olympics pulled 28 million. Now, he held the audience. They had 28 million viewers for women's beach volleyball. Matthew Perry had 18.5 million viewers. Now, that's pretty decent, man. Held on to a nice big chunk of that audience. The question is he going to be able to... This is their question. The question now is whether or not viewers will come back when Go On makes its time period debut. I think they will, easily.
Why?
Because he was a former... Matthew Perry is a guy that you like to watch him. He's a funny guy, I think. He was on Friends. Everybody remembers that show. And they want to see some of that magic, you know, that funny stuff. You know, he was a funny guy. I think people will watch the show. I think they will.
Yeah, but he did another show and stunk it out.
Yeah, what was that one he did that stunk?
What do you mean the one he did that stunk?
He did one that stinked it out.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name of it.
You know, Bud, you're a grown guy. You know, he did one that stinked it out.
It stank.
That stunk, if you want to use the word. And I don't like the word, okay? What do you mean he stunk?
Well, I mean, it went on the air and they had to pull it out.
Have we taken a break yet, Dan? I don't think we have. All right, let's take a break because I don't want to listen to these two idiots any longer than I have to.
Yeah, but what was the show he did that stinked?
I'm going to belt you if you say stinked one more time, man. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our news and information hour. Now I guess I better look up Matthew Perry's show so I don't have to hear Bud say it stinked it out. We'll be right back. The Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
I didn't mean to say that.
The Phil Henry
I know
Show.
You didn't say it. I'm sorry. Well, they used the right word.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and our news and information hour. Margaret Gray going to join us here as we get a little bit of Olympic reporting in. I saw some interesting BMX. Margaret, did you see any of that?
I did see the BMX. It looks very competitive. It looks like it could be very dangerous. You know, as a mother of a 15-year-old boy, I can well imagine, Phil, Jason J. Delmonico watching the BMX competition from London and immediately saying to him, Mom, can I go get a mountain bike? Or, Mom, can I have this or that? So you, in a way, you know, I love the Olympics, but I worry about my son who is, you know, he's professionally, Jason J. is an actor. So if he goes out, and I'll be very blunt with you, Phil, if my son goes out and breaks his skull wide open on the pavement someplace, I am going to be mad. And let me quote Don Corleone in the movie The Godfather. This is Marlon Brando. I'm going to hold some of the people at this table responsible. And I'm going to talk to them, and it won't be for spitting on the sidewalk. See?
Well, I remember that line. I don't know. What does it have to do with Jason J. Delmonico?
What does it have to do with you?
What'd she say?
She wants to know what it has, or he wants to know what it has.
Can you talk to me, Margaret?
Yeah, no, Phil, what it has to do with Jason J. Delmonico is that the boy is sitting watching the Olympics, you know, to put a colloquial ethnic spin on it. And I don't say that with disrespect. I say that with great respect because, as a liberal, I like to feel I speak the language. But there is my son watching the Olympics. And
he's saying that out of respect, too. He's not.
Yeah, I get it, Frank. I get it. And it still sounds insulting.
What does?
Olympics.
I said I am a very well-known liberal, and I'm saying, oh, God. You know,
let's not argue one night, Margaret. Let's you and I sit down and talk very enjoyably about the Olympics and not have an argument.
I don't want to argue, Phil. I don't.
Then don't, you know, listen to the things I say and then say to Frank, hey, Frank, listen to this one. And, you know, it's like you're dealing, you know.
Well, all right. I'm sorry. Okay. Well, he's looking at me. What do you want me to do?
I'm sorry?
Frank's giving me the look like, now what did she say or he? What? Well, what's, you know.
Will you talk to me, please?
All right. Never mind.
You know, what is it with you guys? I get on the air with you, and now you and Frank are eyeballing each other, and...
Well, it's a little... It's enjoyable for Frank to know what you say.
Oh, I'm that funny, huh?
You're entertaining.
Because I'm so dumb?
Well, you take a while to grasp some things. I'm talking... Frank, just don't bother me, Frank.
All right, well, it looks like I got to get it done, then.
Then go ahead and get... Oh, God. Oh, I'm not even looking, Frank.
No.
What's he doing?
He unzipped his pants. He's looking at something on TV. I don't want to look.
Oh, my God. Would you have him leave the room?
Frank, go outside if you're going to do that.
Outside?
Yes. Go out onto the veranda, the patio. We have the pool lights on tonight.
All right, so you want me to sit around the pool and start paddling?
Would you please...
You have to go outside. All right. Jesus, he's shuffling outside with his pants down around his ankles.
You know, I want to say something to you, okay?
What?
I want to talk seriously for a moment. I think you need to get him into a psychiatrist.
Phil, the gender confusion...
No, it's not the gender confusion. I understand that that's a neurologic problem. But for any man to sit there and unzip his pants while you're on the air, and now he's shuffling outside with his pants down around his ankles, I think is real weird. I think the guy's got a mental problem.
Well, Phil, he's 75 years of age. There might be a little bit of... You know, if you think Frank's crazy, no, he isn't. He's crazy like a fox. And
so he just feels free to pull his pants down right there in front of his wife?
I am his wife.
Okay, but even still, you know...
We've shared intimacies.
I know, I understand that, but even still, I mean, isn't there a modicum of behavior that one would observe, especially... you're both very wealthy people. You've got a nice, beautiful home there.
No one is going to be coming through the first... I'm not expecting the Manson family tonight, all right? And to be honest with you, if the Manson family showed up, I think it would be one of the funniest things in the world for them to come rolling in here with their knives and their witchcraft and their, you know, dye pig. And there's Frank with his pants down looking at Peggy Fleming.
What did she say?
Never mind about him, okay? All right, so BMX.
Yes, the BMX was very good, but I wanted to mention one other thing, Phil.
All right.
You were talking tonight about, you said in a very ham-fisted way, honey boo-boo is the way you said it, and the pronunciation, Phil, and I'm very, very surprised that you weren't corrected, is honey boo-boo, and...
Well, okay, you know, I can't...
Phil, don't be so flustered. I'm trying to teach you something.
Okay, but you know what? I'm not in France. Why do we have to use the French pronunciation?
Because we are dealing with a family of rednecks. Isn't that right? Isn't that right?
Yes, it is.
All right. They would like nothing better than to drag you, me, and everyone watching and listening right down into the slop and the mud... and the filth that they live in, wouldn't they?
Margaret...
Wouldn't they?
I don't know if they would or not.
Well, that's what they'd like. Now they've got their little beauty pageant, and they want everyone to wallow in the pig slop with them. Well, I, for one, will not wallow in the pig slop with the Thompson family, with Sugar Bear and Honey Boo Boo. Now, the pronunciation is Honey Boo Boo. And
that's the pronunciation.
Yes, when you apply the French lilt. And if you know anything about French...
Now, Margaret, can I ask you something?
What?
I'm sorry to exasperate you. Do you speak French?
No, I don't. You don't have to speak French to give it the right lilt. You understand?
He's talking about Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, I know, Frank. Thank you. Are you all done?
I took care of it.
So why don't you turn Honey Boo Boo on? We're going to look at Honey Boo Boo and see what,
All right, thank you very much.
Well, Phil, I have a lot more to say about...
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we'll get into more discussions here of Honey Boo Boo.
Phil Henry.
Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. It's our, whatever the hell we call this. What's this, our...
It's called News and Information.
News and Information. All right. We were just checking out. Did you find that stuff?
Yeah, I found out Matthew Perry before he done this one. I mean, he did a lot.
No, I know he's done a lot. We just wanted to remember the name of the show that Matthew Perry did, which was last year on ABC. It was called Mr. Sunshine. And it was a TV show about a bat. It's very interesting to know the premise of these different shows. And you may, probably this is something you guys don't think about. I don't blame you. I mean, I don't really think about it. But I just thought, because there's a lot of shows that, a lot of television shows. And there are a lot of television shows that might have been television shows and weren't. You know, they have what are called pilots. Now here, this was the premise of Mr. Sunshine. Where is it? Here it is. And this starred Matthew Perry in 2011. He stars as Ben Donovan, the self-involved manager of a second-rate San Diego sports arena who begins to reevaluate his life on his 40th birthday. All right. Now, it didn't succeed. It failed. I shouldn't say it failed. Somebody at the network said to take it off the air.
Yeah, ain't that a failure?
Not necessarily. Somebody said, take it off the air. Who knows? I mean, was it a failure? And everybody brings up Star Trek. Was that a failure?
What?
Oh, you guys don't even remember. They pulled Star Trek off the air after 3 years, and that was the end of that, and the thing goes on to become a multi-million-dollar franchise. Anyway, here's a cat who is the manager of a San Diego sports arena. Now, if you're asking me, I turned 40, and I don't remember reevaluating my life. I think I did it when I was 38 or 37. But beyond that, San Diego Sports Arena. It says a second-rate San Diego Sports Arena. Now, part of the funny thing of that show was that as the manager of this second-rate San Diego Sports Arena, he had to juggle when the hockey team was playing as opposed to when the basketball team was playing as opposed to when, you know, something else. And they had to juggle all of these different floors, for instance.
Yeah, they had, like, instead of a basketball court,
down the ice.
Yeah, they had to make sure they had ice, and I think part of it, part of the funny part was if the basketball team showed up and they still had ice, or the hockey team shows up, you know, whatever. I mean, that doesn't exactly sound like a second rate. It sounds like a pretty successful sports arena, but he's the manager of that, which is funny enough, you know. And meanwhile, the guy's going through a life crisis at the age of 40. Then I guess that's the whole, what do you call that?
Human interest.
Yeah, it's the human interest part of that. So he's not only got his job, but he also has his life. So they've got these building blocks that they put into all of these shows. Now, here's this guy. He is going to be a guy the audience identifies with. Okay, who is he? Well, he's 40, and he's reevaluating his life. And what is his life? He manages a sports arena. And I guess it sucks. Now, a lot of guys in the world would probably think that's a cool job to have. I don't know. I'd like to take a shot at it. He's working alongside his boss and arena owner, Crystal, an attractive, powerful, and highly erratic woman. So are you digging that? She's the...
Wait a minute. That...
Of course. The woman who owns the sports arena, her name's Crystal, not Jane, Crystal, and she's attractive, powerful, and highly erratic. Then Alice, the cute, tomboyish marketing director, and Ben's friend with benefits... Okay.
What's that mean? He has sex with?
I guess. Alonzo is a former basketball player, handsome and unbelievably happy, and I'm sure he's white.
No, not with...
I understand.
But a name like Alonzo, man, he'd be black.
You think? I know. I was joking. Ben's assistant, Heather, pretty, sweet, but terrifying because she once lit a boyfriend on fire. That's pretty cool. Crystal's son... Roman, sweet-faced, clueless, and Ben's newest employee, and a hapless operations crew whom Ben refers to collectively as the Steves. Mr. Sunshine stars Matthew Perry as Ben, ba-ba-ba-boom, but Allison Janney from the West Wing as Crystal. Oh, okay, so the older, really attractive, you know, like...
No chance.
No chance he's going to have sex with her. Well, no. Maybe she flirts with him, but she's definitely the older, powerful, and attractive woman. Okay, cool. And then you have all these, I don't know. But I think this new one's going to work.
Why?
Because it's got a radio studio in it. And I think that if there's one surefire thing to put into any TV series that works, it's have a radio studio, have some guy on the radio being in the radio studio. And considering the fact that that's what I've been doing on television for the last three or four different jobs I had, why not hire me?
That one show you did?
When I was on The Unit, I played a radio station manager. When I did New Girl, I was a sports show host. I just did something else, and I did something else. Thank you.
No, you didn't. Modern Family?
Modern Family. I played Booker Bell, who was a radio guy. And then I know I did one other, so, you know, I'm very happy that I'm not typecast. I'm just joking. Of course I'd be typecast, because, you know.
Yeah, but at least that one you did on New Girl, that guy's, mentally disturbed.
Yeah, that's what you gotta play, a mentally disturbed guy.
Yeah, thank you very much, bud. That guy I played on New Girl, that Joe Napoli, I weighed 289 pounds when I did that character. Now I'm skinnied down, man, and I'll have even less weight. I don't know that it'll work, you know?
Why not?
Because I was a fat ass when I played that guy. Now I'm skinny.
Yeah, you could say the guy went on a diet.
Yeah, you could say he went on a diet. The character is an erratic, nutty guy, you know, and he's bugging Winston, you know, Lamorne Morris's character and all that stuff. So I don't know. I don't want to talk about all that stuff. All right, so good luck, Matthew Perry. We hope your show is a smashing, just a major hit, because the money that you're getting, the residuals from Friends, can't possibly be enough. Now then. So enough of that. A small NASA lander being tested for missions to the moon and other destinations beyond Earth crashed and burned after veering off course during a trial run at Kennedy Space Center on Thursday, according to officials of the U.S. Space Agency. There were no injuries after the prototype known as Morpheus burst into flames near the runway formerly used by NASA's space shuttles. The insect-like vehicle designed and built by engineers at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston had made several flights attached to a crane before Thursday's attempted free flight. Morpheus's engines, which burn liquid oxygen and methane, appeared to ignite as planned, lifting the 1,700-pound vehicle into the air. But a few seconds later, Morpheus rolled over on its side and plummeted to the ground. NASA video showed the vehicle engulfed in flames and then rocked by a spectacular explosion, presumably due to the fuel tank's rupturing.
There goes the space program. They want to shut it down.
Yeah, they always do that. They could have killed somebody.
What do you mean they got to shut what down?
That space program.
No, they ain't going to shut the space program down.
No, I know they shouldn't, but they you know.
Yeah, they will, because they'll say that it could have killed somebody and cost too much.
They're not going to shut the space program down, man. They ain't going to do that.
Yeah, but look what happened.
You don't understand. This is part of science. This is the trial and error that goes into everything that is worth anything in life. Of course there's failures.
Well, I mean, it blew up and everything.
Who? Yes, it blew up. You're right, it blew up. Did it disappoint people? Sure it did. Do they wish it would have gone perfectly? Of course they did. But nothing goes perfect in this world all the time, and you have to have events like this. It helps you work out the problems. Nobody wants to have something blow up or not work right, but this is the process. You know, before we even launched a rocket to space, man, we had more rockets that were blowing up on the launch pad. They were going up about 2 feet and then crashing back down to Earth.
Really?
Yeah. Haven't you ever seen the film?
I saw one of them did that. What it looked like. It's pretty cool. They went up into the...
All right, okay. Enough about what it looked like. The point is that this is what happens, man.
So you're saying that the shuttle ought to blow up some more people in it. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Where did you get that weird idea?
Well, you're saying those mistakes are good.
Bud, I said nobody wants mistakes to happen. But if mistakes do happen, you got to learn from them. And in science, mistakes do happen. It's impossible to think that we were going to go to outer space and do any of the other things that we have done and not have things go wrong. It happens, and we get over it. That's what life is about. And I'm telling you, you guys really, you know, this worries me, man, because, and it may not be true, but I can't imagine, I really don't think, I look at today's younger generation, young people coming up, I think they're amazing. I think young people, high school, college age, these are some great people that we got.
Yeah, but do you think they're P.O.?
P.O.?
Yeah, you know, like...
No, I don't think that at all. I think I've seen some amazing people, man. Soldiers, young scholars. Look at those technicians, those young people that were with the Mars lander. But I don't want anybody to think that life doesn't have mistakes and doesn't involve mistakes, you know?
Well, if they blow up some more.
Yeah, well, whatever, bud. You're bugging me, man. Oh, God, are you bugging me. Anyway, Morpheus's engines, which burn liquid oxygen, so the whole thing blew up and the whole thing went to hell in a handcart, and they've said, okay, that's it. We don't want to go to outer space.
Yeah, I'll call it that.
Yeah. Project Morpheus, are you going to outer space? No, I'm going to odor space. Oh, you're testing that deodorant.
Yes.
Huh? Huh? You like it?
No, not really.
Better than anything you guys have said tonight. Way better. Where are you going testing that Airwick, man? I'm going to odor space. Right on. Project Morpheus began in partnership with a privately owned Armadillo Aerospace. Aha!
That's it, man. That's a culprit. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Which is developing reusable suborbital vehicles that take off and land vertically. Well, that one landed horizontally, so you're... NASA, which has spent about $7 million on the project, that's a drop in the bucket. That's nothing, $7 million. I'm serious, that's nothing. Over the past 2.5 years, is interested in developing technologies that could be used to fly cargo to the moon and other future missions beyond Earth orbit. Now, you know that company out there in Manhattan Beach, they just delivered supplies to the space station using a robot ship. I believe it came back and they did a soft landing. Am I right or am I wrong about that? But that was a major success. And it was one that was done by a private company out here. They launched the rocket themselves. I don't know. They might have used government facilities to send the rocket into space, but they built, designed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and got the contract. And it was a private concern delivering the supplies to the space station. I think that's the first time that's ever happened. A tremendous achievement, just a tremendous achievement. Project Morpheus was an example of what the former project manager called Home Depot engineering, low-budget projects that use existing resources and partner with non-traditional aerospace companies. The Morpheus lander is kind of our poster child. It's one of our first attempts to do these kinds of projects. They'll keep on going.
Yeah, they'll give up, though.
No, they won't give up, man. What the hell kind of guys would they be if they gave up?
Oh, yeah, it's broke. I better just stop doing it.
Well, yeah, sure. That's what we do with life, huh? Oh, gee, the Morpheus lander, it went on its side. I don't want to do this anymore. Bud, this is the space program. It's not like we're, you know, making mud pies out front, okay? And we're bored, and now we want to go in and get a cheese puff.
Well.
What? They're going to keep at it until they get it right or until they say, this is not cost effective. Let's try something else. All right, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Speaking of not wanting to do it anymore, I'm so sick and tired of doing this show today. I'm kidding. I'm having a good time. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry
Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, after the show, don't forget we'll be posting our show log at philhendryshow.com. Tomorrow we've got another podcast dropping. We had today's podcast, which is a Milwaukee Lion game, the 1979 championship game with Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. And tomorrow, another podcast. Let's go to the phones here. We got Ray back with us in Worcester, Massachusetts. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Phil. The lady that you had on a moment ago, and I had called earlier.
I know.
I had called earlier to talk to the woman and gentleman when they were talking about this beauty pageant with this child. I also indicated to your phone screener that I had a daughter that competed in those.
That wasn't clear, and I apologize to you, sir. That's my fault. You were, it was very clear to the screener that you had a daughter in those beauty pageants. We didn't know here on the air.
No, I had made it very clear to him that that's what I did. Now, I'm calling back your program because I heard something about a half an hour ago that this seems to be a theme on your program tonight, and the disrespect that is given to very hardworking parents and the kids that are in these pageants. And if you'll pardon me, Mr. Henry, I have an aviary in the back of my property here, and I'm feeding some of the birds that we have here. It is very late at night, but they are up, and birds will be up sometimes if they're hungry, so I hope you don't mind.
No, sir, you're in an aviary.
I'm in the aviary that we have on the far corner of our property. We've got two of them, actually, and I'm actually feeding. How are you? Hello. Here you go. We have...
What kind of birds, sir?
If you don't mind, I'd like that to be... I'd rather not say, and it isn't because of anything other than... in the world of competitive bird raising, you don't like to share that information?
Competitive bird raising? I've never heard of that.
Well, again, if you don't mind, I'd rather not talk about it, okay? That's all right with you?
That's fine, yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. A lady was on your program about a half an hour ago, and I almost couldn't believe my ears when I heard her use the phrase, honey baboon.
Honey baboo.
Honey baboon, yeah.
No, honey baboo.
Well, I heard the woman distinctly use the word baboon in reference to these children that are working very hard to be winners of these pageants, and to call a baby, it's part and parcel. Hold on. Hello. I've got vultures here. I'll give you that much. I've got vultures. And
you have vultures in that aviary?
No, I have vultures in my bedroom, and they're watching TV. Yes, they're in an aviary.
Okay, sir, you're the guy bringing it up.
Well, you wanted to know what kind of birds I raised. Now,
Margaret Gray was the woman that was on the show. She did not say honey baboon. She said honey baboo because she said that's the proper pronunciation.
Said the what?
She said that's the proper pronunciation.
The proper pronunciation is honey boo-boo. It's not honey baboo. And what I heard made me sick to my stomach. Sick to hear the woman say that. Now, I'd like to call back tomorrow night.
No, you've called back twice in one night. I thought it would be worth it, and it's not.
Well, I think it was worth it.
Well, if you're there feeding your birds and you're talking to me and you got upset about something that you heard and you didn't really hear it, what?
Yeah, Harvey Wireman.
Hold on for a minute. Harvey Wireman, he's an attorney.
I'm not impressed with attorneys.
Hold on, I'm not... Harvey, how are you? Harvey, how are you?
Hold on. Yeah, Phil, I'm holding for Phil Henry.
Yes, this is Phil, Harvey.
Okay, Phil, you on the air right now?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. I got a call from the Grays. I got a call from Frank Ray. Should I hold, Mr. Henry?
Hold on, yeah.
And you got another phone call on there?
Yeah, I've got a gentleman, but I'm taking your call because I thought you were referencing this.
I'm referencing Frank Gray called and said that his wife is listening right now, Margaret, and she heard a guy call her a baboon. And
I did not call the woman a baboon. I'm the gentleman, okay?
The baboon. And wants to have a retraction. I said, there's only one, the only guy would be you, right?
No, I got a caller right now.
And so I said, I'll try to get you to retract, saying...
I've got a caller on right now.
Saying baboon.
I'm the guy that said baboon, all right?
So I'm calling from holding for Phil Henry.
No, I'm the guy that said baboon.
Harvey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now, Phil. I just got a call from Frank Gray.
No, you already told me.
Okay, and Margaret... says that she'd like you to retract referring to her as an ape, you know, as a hairy ape, as the missing link or something.
No, sir, my name is Ray Boring. I'm from Worcester, Massachusetts. I'm the one that called her a baboon.
The hairy ape was a novel, you know. And
are you listening to me?
Yes, I'm listening to you.
Do you know that I have a caller on the line?
All right, well, I'll call back later if you...
No, this is the guy that said she is a... he didn't call her anything.
Did you call her? Who are you?
Are you talking to me, sir?
I don't know who I'm talking to. Who are you?
Who are you talking to?
You.
I'm Phil Hendry.
All right, well, then why don't you say so?
Oh, man.
You know, don't old man me, Phil, because you could have a libel action. Did you call Margaret Gray a greasy, stinking ape, or didn't you?
I called her a baboon. I mean, about...
Who said baboon?
I did.
Is that you, Phil?
No, that's one of my callers.
It's one of the... Well, if it's one of the voices you're doing, I don't think it's very funny. Now, somebody said, get your cheap, stinking, dirty ape paws off of me.
That was Charlton Heston.
Great. I win the scavenger hunt. Now...
Get rid of him, will you? The Phil Henry Show, you know, it's the Phil Henry Show. Is this... Bye.
Phil Henry.
Charlton Heston, right? Yeah, I got that.